Hi, and welcome to Curious Conversations, the podcast where curiosity meets connection. Thanks for joining as we discuss captivating stories and ideas and engage in thought-provoking conversations with experts, enthusiasts, and everyday people. We hope to ignite a curious spirit as we embark on a quest for understanding one curious conversation at a time. So let's jump in this together. Welcome to the world of Curious Conversations. And welcome to Curious Conversations. We are your hosts, Carly and Mandy, and we have such a fun show lined up for you this week.
This week's episode is all about curious products, and I cannot wait to hear what you have to share with us, Carly. You know, I think this was actually your very first idea when we started talking about a podcast.
Yeah, it was. And you know, it all started with a pair of underpants. more about that in a minute, but before we dive in, we want to share with you this week's Curious Dish, the part of our show where we dish about the most curious things we've seen this week. All right, Mandy, your turn. Anything curious you want to dish about?
Okay, so I don't want to do a repeat, but I just have to piggyback a little bit on our last Curious Dish because it's just like how bizarre to have another ghost story.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
Yeah. So the very next week after my goat story that I had another run in, with a goat, so to speak. My family went out to eat, like at a popular local spot, and we go to get out of the car, and somebody says, "Oh my gosh, it's a goat." I'm like, "What?" I'm thinking in the parking lot. No, there's a goat in the car next to us. So, what? Yep. So it's right there waiting like a dog, you know, just somebody's going in for dinner and left their little pup in the car, but it's a whole goat.
And like hanging out in the back seat.
Yeah. Well, kind of like coming towards the window, hoping to get our attention.
So, oh, no.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned before, like when we were talking about wanting a goat in PJs. Well, there's your goat because it actually had on a onesie. So it's in there, little red onesie. Mm-hmm. And
that makes my heart happy.
Oh, it was super cute. And you could hear it. So it was like, bah, like that really low thing. And I'm thinking, mm-hmm. Oh, get out here and get to your goat, you know?
Yeah. Bring him a taco.
Right? It was crazy. It's just like you talk about something and then something else pops up in that same thing. It seems like to me anyway.
Yep, absolutely. Well, listen, I wish I had a goat story this week, but I do not. But what I do have is something that I think might be of interest to you. You know, you have the same likes as far as TV documentaries go. So It's always a, hey, you should go watch this one. You should go watch this one. And I love that. Well, this week I watched one of those that has come out recently about Gypsy Rose Blanchard. And this is the girl, that was just released from prison after serving, I think, an 8-year sentence. So Gypsy, for those of you that don't know, she was convicted for the second-degree murder of Dee Dee Blanchard, who was her mother. And Dee Dee is suspected of having had Munchausen syndrome by proxy. But regardless, she was absolutely an abusive parent. You know, she had convinced Gypsy, she had convinced, you know, friends and family, but even doctors that Gypsy was ill when she wasn't. And this is like to the point of countless and pointless surgeries being performed, medicines that were administered, and the entire story, it really is heartbreaking, but it's definitely worth a watch.
Oh my gosh. So I've heard of that. I didn't know the whole thing because I was caught up in some other stuff that I've been checking out, but I'm definitely curious about that one and I'll have to add it to my watch list for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, getting back on track, we definitely have had fun with the episode we're bringing to you today. And again, the idea for the topic of curious products came when I happened upon an interesting and very entertaining product on Amazon. Mandy, do you shop Amazon much?
Oh, yeah. So I love Amazon. It's like one of my favorite modern day conveniences.
Right. Okay. So I am quite a fan, although I do like to shop locally. I want to put out there. We both support local, but sometimes you can find things online that you just can't find anywhere else. And this is just how I happened upon our first Curious product.
Yeah. So sometimes I'll just like treat Amazon like Google, right?
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. And that's what I did. I was looking for Christmas presents for my teens. And these are teens that kind of just have everything, you know, and you've really got to get creative with it. So I spent some time really spiraling down a rabbit hole. And then I happened upon a product called Instant Underpants.
Is that what you were talking about on our last episode?
Yes. Yeah. So it's strange enough, especially when you think through the circumstances that you'd have to be in to need instant underpants. But what I found even stranger was how these underpants came packaged. So like they come in a cute little, it's a very small can. And when you open it, there's a disc that looks nothing like underpants. It's literally just a disc. And what you have to do is you have to place that disc in water and it grows into a pair of wearable underwear.
Okay, wait a minute. They would be wet.
So yeah, they actually would be. But their advertisement says, and I quote, "Remember, it's better to have damp underpants than no underpants at all."
Oh,
yes. I was so tickled by that, that I bought them. I did. I bought a pair, and I kept digging because I wanted to see like what else this little company might have to offer. Mm-hmm. But it's actually like a really cute company with a cute little startup story. The company is called Archie McPhee. And their tagline is just simple. It's "we make weird," you know, and they do. they have like an entire line of rubber chickens. Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
But you buy like strange toys. Like they have this little baby worm in a carriage, or they have a splat possum, which is probably just the funnest thing I can find. It literally mimics roadkill when you drop it.
Oh my gosh.
Coolest. But the owner, Mark Palo, started the business. He started it actually just selling like rubber lizards and like crazy things. Just there was a massive market for it. People were going crazy over these little random toy-like things that he was selling. Mm-hmm. Enough so that he ended up needing a bigger space. So he packed his inventory up and he went to Seattle. So 1983. He set up shop. He had two employees, and that is how Archie McPhee got started. But it's really cool. You can read his book. He wrote a book called "Who Would Buy This?" And it just kind of tells the history, gives some insight into his products, you know, the ones that were hits. Of course, some were duds, but probably the most interesting thing is the book really goes into some stories of some folks who maybe didn't love his products so much. So,
oh, okay. Well, I think I love the products. And here's a funny thing. So, a couple of Halloweens back, my mom was searching hard for a rubber chicken. And so I wished I would have known.
Oh, now you know where to get one.
Now I know. So, you do know there was Archie McPhee who led a jazz band back in the 20s.
Wait, really?
Uh huh. So, it's interesting because, okay, so he's interesting anyway. He sort of brought this whole new swing jazz band thing to Asia. And I mean, did you even know about there's a whole swing band Asian thing? I didn't.
No. Like, I had no idea, but I could totally see Mark Palo listening to jazz music. Like, he looks like he'd fit that part.
Okay. Well, I mean, I like some jazz and that's the kind that I like. Like I like the swing jazz and sometimes I like that random noise kind of jazz too. Do you like jazz?
You know, I'm not really into the jazz scene much, but So maybe I just haven't been introduced to the right kind of jazz yet.
Well, it's kind of an acquired taste. And, you know, I think what kind of jazz you like kind of tells about your personality, because I know some people like that smooth jazz, and that's not really my thing.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, I'll put you onto some good stuff and we'll see what you think about it.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so listen. No, go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say, I love the story. Like, that's my kind of thing, like these quirky, odd products and stuff. So I'm going to put that on my list of things to check out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you should check out their TikTok account. So it's basically like full grown adults, and they are playing with some pretty amazing toys. It will definitely entertain and probably distract from, like, you know, work stuff for hours.
Yeah, that's what I need to add to my schedule, Carly, is just some stuff as distractions.
Right.
Oh my gosh, I'll probably fill my cart with some unneeded things for sure. I can always sell them on my side project auction, you know? I can just play with them and then push them on to the next guy.
Yeah, well, I am definitely buying some stuff, but, you know, I think it's really important to maintain kind of, you know, that childlikeness. Mm-hmm. And as I get older, I find a lot of joy in owning toys and fun little oddities. I collect all that stuff.
I get it. You know, I just bought a doll recently, so there's that.
Yeah.
My son keeps telling me, you know, it's not real. And I'm like, I know. But anyway, I love collecting. So I'm thinking, you know, I get that doll. I'm going to get some more dolls. That's going to kind of be my new collecting thing. And anyway, me and my son both do like collecting, so he's just giving me a hard time. But that kind of got me thinking, though, in the whole collection thing, the whole curious product topic. And I want to share a couple things with you. And the first one is Liquid Death. Do you know this?
Know it, yes. Tried it, not yet.
Okay. So here's the thing. I thought it was this really cool product. And now, well, okay, I'll just tell you the story. So I came across it in a store like a couple years back, and it stood out to me because it's got this sort of melting skull on it, and it looks like an energy drink or something, or like some, you know, craft beer kind of thing. It just looks very interesting, catches my eye. And I love the branding on that sort of thing, even though I've actually never had an energy drink. Can you believe that?
Really? Ever?
No, I'm a little bit cautious. I'm kind of sensitive to caffeine. So I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't go there. Anyway, I do look at the cans because I think they're very appealing. Yes. So I'm looking at this and it's super cool. And I'm thinking, why is it with the water? You know, what is this thing? So I pick it up, but sure enough, it is water, like just plain water. Well, mountain water. So, you know, they've got their particular kind of water that they like and all, but it just happens to be in a can, and it looks like a tall boy or whatever. And it happens to have this super cool, unique branding. Other than that, it's water.
Oh gosh. You know, I really love a cool label, like probably a little too much. So I will buy a pink monster, and it is not because I like that flavor. I actually like the tea ones, which are like a yellow. But I like the color pink more than that tea flavor, I guess.
Okay. So don't tell me you're going to like buy both and then pour it into the other one, right?
That's it.
Oh my gosh. So one of my favorite cans ever that I kept was something I hated when I drank it. So I get it. Like, it was a sour, and I don't even remember what it was called. But anyway, the image was cool. So, so I get this thing. I go ahead and purchase this original Liquid Death for my teenage son, because I'm thinking he's going to love this branding like I do. And that's just, you know, it just seems right. So one of the coolest things is the write-up on the back.
Oh, on the back of the can. What does it say?
Yep. So, okay, I'm going to read it to you right here.
Okay.
So it's like the slogan or whatever is "Murder Your Thirst." So it's all playful, even though it's got this like graphic skull type thing, but I mean, there's literally skulls on everything now, so I don't know that sure means anything. But yeah. Okay, so here's the little blurb. It says, "This infinitely recyclable can of stone-cold mountain water came straight from the Alps to murder your thirst. When a group of teenagers set off into the mountains for a weekend of drinking regular water in plastic bottles, they became hunted by an aluminum can of mountain water that was dead set on murdering their thirst and recycling their souls. Once cracked open, no thirst is safe from Liquid Death. After ritually dismembering its thirst victims, this brutal can of water used the severed body parts of dead thirst to build itself a flesh suit, which is used to disguise self to get a job in marketing. But Liquid Death never took the job. It just murdered a bunch more thirst instead.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so that is indeed some creative writing.
Yeah. So it was kind of random to me to be on a can of water. So I'm thinking, this is interesting. And as writers, you're like, oh, they took a little bit of time with this. But anyway, so my son loves it. And we thought it was hilarious because it's like this dark humor. And even like he said, oh, it's crazy marketing. And so we start searching for other ones. And that's a little fun thing because they don't have all the cans at certain stores. You kind of have to look over them and look around for those. So we find out then there's like sparkling water, flavored water. They have names like Mango Chainsaw, Bury It Alive, Severed Lime. And so we'd be out of town. I mean, that's funny, right?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's like dark funny. So we'd be out of town or something and we'd be like, oh, look, they've got the so-and-so one, you know. And so he'd get that and see if he liked it. We'd try those out. And well, another aspect is, so they're all about recycling and the push is to be responsible and be healthy. And like that healthy doesn't have to be just cutesy or sophisticated or whatever. And so it's like a little wild and a little good because, again, it's water.
Yeah, right. Okay, so I'm thinking this is cool. Like it's a weird marketing story, cool looking can. So I'm in so far.
Okay, yeah. Well, so fast forward a bit. And one of our relatives is over who's younger than our son. And he sees all these cans and he looks sort of interested and kind of bothered by the same time. And so, you know, we're like telling him the story and we're, you know, chuckling about it like we had been doing. And he says very flatly, oh, I'm not allowed to drink that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I'm like, what, water? And then so I'm the sort of the defensive mom, like, you know, wait, what? It's just, you know, it's just marketing. So I'm thinking, okay, it's the images or whatever, because he's a little younger. And so maybe it's like something that's spooky. We don't want him, you know, to have that. And then he goes, no, they had witches perform a ceremony over it is what I was told.
What?
Yeah. I'm like, wait, what? And I said, no, like I know all about this, right? I'm immediately like, oh, that's crazy. You know, our son's like, no, it's just a joke thing. And we're doing this back and forth. And so then I'm like, So I immediately look it up and yeah, witches.
What?
Yeah. So I skim and I skim. And so here's what I found. The short version is that the company who does all this outrageous stuff for marketing had hired, I guess, a supposed witch to help with the Super Bowl bet at the time. You know, and I don't even know what that term covers at this point, so I'm not really sure what's meant by that. For anybody who might be offended by that term, I don't know what they meant specifically. But anyway, they were they needed some help with the Super Bowl bet they were doing at the time, and the company was sort of rooting for the underdog that was playing the underdog team because they were supposed to be like the underdog of water, and they had this whole thing going on, kind of went overboard. And this witch or whatever, I don't know what she really was. She was supposed to be putting a curse on the other team and, blah, blah, blah. There's just like all these things back and forth about what she's going to do. So I'm thinking, maybe he's not wrong. His parents are not wrong, but you know, this is just more marketing, right? I mean, it's kind of shock marketing at this point, but so I tell them both about it and that this was just meant to be a joke and I don't really think about it anymore. And then.
Okay. Yeah.
And are you curious so far?
Yeah. Like I'm needing to know.
Yeah. It's just water, right? Anyway, so here comes my episode and I'm doing a little, research for this episode that you started. And I thought, as soon as you said it, I thought, if I get to include something, it's going to be this because this is interesting. It's weird. And I'm like, Liquid Death was my immediate pick. So I'm checking it out. I'm going through some more details of what I already knew. I found all this really cool merchandise and more crazy ads. And I'm thinking this is perfect for us. This is so me. And okay. So then they have like a real connection with like the whole rock scene and hard rock scene. And there's branding with that. And it fits like my 80s, you know, book series. And okay, so they even have big names. It's funny. It's like Tony Hawk, you know, the skaters from back in the day, Metallica, the heavy metal band. And then there's Martha Stewart, because, you know, she just like gets in all the things.
Martha Stewart. Okay, that's interesting.
I know. So she always wants in with the cool kids. So yeah. She's on here with like a liquid death candle. And it looks like a severed hand holding a candle, which happens to be that can of liquid death. So I'm still like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. This is fun. And anyway, they do a little commercial and she's like cooking severed hands. And it's like over the top rock meets horror. And I'm like, yes, yes. And then...
There's more.
Yeah, there's more.
Okay.
So, the page to like become a quote unquote member or whatever, which that's just another one of the many, many pages on their website, is this thing where you sell your soul for water.
What?
Yeah. And part of me is like, you know, there's that gut feeling like, oh, we just went too far. And then it's like, it's just over the top marketing, right? It's just still more of that. And I don't even think they're taking this seriously, but I don't know. It's like, for you and me, you have these things that you're interested in, and maybe they're questionable, maybe they're harmless, but then there's a line. And I think everybody has that line within them. And for me, I'm thinking, you know, I can get on board with all this, even though it's over the top ridiculous, but, you know, why this? It just seemed like the most random, dark thing. I mean, how does that strike you?
Yeah, you know, awesome. I think everybody has to figure out where their line is, you know. I mean, right. It's for some that would be just a haha, you know, no big deal. And others it might really bother them. You've got to kind of figure out for yourself where your line is. And then it is important to do some research, you know, otherwise you're like, it's just water. And maybe it's something that is completely against what you're against. And, you know, but I think that's really important, that not just with, you know, beverages, but across the board, we've got to figure out where our lines are and decide if it's okay for you to cross it or not, and then let others kind of decide for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I just, you know, I don't really know how I feel about it. It was just kind of like, we're going, yes, yes, yes. And then it's like, wait, now what? And I guess I was just like, this is a little more than I expected. And, you know, someone saying, I don't want my child drinking that kind of thing. I'm not saying anything towards any of that. I just, I don't know. I was thinking, did they have to go that far? And maybe I'm being parental now. I don't know, but they do have some really cool names and it is neat. And like 10% of sales go to charities that tackle like plastic pollution and all that. So, anyway, I just don't know how I feel about all that now, but it's a very interesting angle and company. And I think it even goes beyond religious beliefs for me, and just kind of the marketing aspect there. I just thought, oh, you just kind of ruined it by going too far.
Yeah.
It's a little chocolate syrup on chocolate ice cream. Anyway, I guess that's the thing of it, right? You don't know the whole thing until you do your research. And we've done a ton of research, but we want to pair that with some personal experiences too.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and this is definitely something I can relate to. So I've already mentioned my love for cool labels. Well, here I'm going to plug a little product that I've found recently and tried simply because I like a good label.
Yeah.
So it's called Freak Show Wines. And I really got into this, you know, I will buy a bottle of wine based off of what they have on their label. And this one, every bottle features characters from pop culture, and it is said to be like the largest non-repeating wine label ever created. So I was definitely interested in that. But these labels kind of host scenes with like this, it's a carnival vibe, you know, with everything from, you've got flame swallowers, and they even have scenes from the Burning Man Festival, which is, you know, just cool. But many of their images are public domain images that their design team pulled, and they created these beautiful labels. It's definitely interesting.
Oh my gosh, you know, that's totally my vibe. So when you mentioned that, I was like, oh, you know, you want one of everyone.
Yeah. And what I like about these, they sell their wine in cans, and automatically canned wine is like a, for me, it's, I don't know. They're good. You know, they're really good. And I only bought them because you could get like this cute little 4-pack of these different wines and then collect all these labels without having to buy full bottles of wine that I don't actually like to drink. And so it was pretty great. But this led me really to look into some other wine labels that I find interesting. And I stumbled upon the Prisoner Wine Company. So have you heard of this at all?
No, I don't know that one.
Okay. Well, so their label was inspired by an etching by a 19th century Spanish artist, that his name was Francisco Goya, and its subtitle translates to "The custody is as barbaric as the crime," which was interesting for me to find. Now, the sketch is part of Goya's series that is titled "The Disasters of War." And this was created as a visual protest to the injustice and the brutality of the Spanish War of Independence in 1808. And he just did a fantastic job with really showing emotion in his sketching. And the Prisoner Wine Company proudly claims to stand against oppression while embracing creativity, which I think is really cool.
Oh, I love that. But I'm thinking, like, all these people with their brand, they're getting heavy, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think it's getting harder and harder to market with such, you know, I mean, everything, it's saturated. And so Promotional things and marketing teams are having to dig really deep. Some do really well with that and some don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you definitely got serious with your wine here. So I love stories behind the products. I want to learn more about that one too. And this has just opened up a lot of interesting conversations, I'll say, since we've been working on this one.
Yeah, it's been eye-opening, educational, but altogether, it's been a really fun episode.
It has been fun. So I'm going to wrap this back around to something a little bit fun. Awesome. When you were first talking about the Archie McPhee stuff, I was thinking about a product I learned about, and we've had some weird, we have some serious, and this one's just straight up fun. So maybe a little dangerous.
Oh, okay. So we're getting fun and dangerous.
Fun and dangerous. Isn't that what you want? Okay, so in 1964, this chemist named Norman Stingley, I think Stingley is how you say it, he invented some kind of synthetic rubber. And I'm not quite sure what his hopes were, but he just never could find a real use for it. So he's thinking, I'm going to turn this into a novelty toy company when all else fails, right?
Right.
So, this company is called Wham-O, and he's going to see what they can do with it. So then, like 2 years later, I think it was 66, the company releases the Super Ball.
Oh, okay, wait a minute. I'm pretty sure I know this.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think so.
All right, so here's the deal. This thing was marketed as containing the secret ingredient, Zectron, which sounds like total science fiction to me. But like, this ball would bounce super high. And so it became an instant fad back then. I mean, you know, kids were probably still limited in the toys they had, and this thing's bouncing high. And it seems fun. And so they were bouncing the balls in the hallway at school and off rooftops. And I'm thinking it was probably like a dare, right? Like, can you bounce it? So anyway, when they got a little bored with that, then the mini super balls were created, and kids were loving that. I'm sure teachers and parents were hating that. But
right.
Anyway, by the product's peak, Wham-O was producing like 170,000 balls a day.
Okay, so you've seen one.
Okay, tell me about that.
All right, so I was in a little store in Florida shopping with my dad, and I need to say my dad is a big kid at heart. he bounced that ball. I thought at what was a pretty normal rate of bounce speed. that thing jumped two aisles, knocking some things off of the shelves. Like, it was shocking, to say the least. So, you know, I'm in the store expecting like a fun little game of catch, and we ended up like running off with our heads down, giggling, like trying not to look like the perps.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Yeah. So was it kind of like it just exploded and took off?
Yeah, you know, it looked like you would bounce a normal ball and it would come straight, you know, but I mean, it took off. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Well, did you know the part about the Super Bowl story that goes along with that?
I do not. What is that?
Okay. So Lamar Hunt, the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, evidently he saw his daughter playing with this ball back in the day. So tells Commissioner Pete, is it Rozelle? I'm not like a sports person.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'm going to show, you know, I'm dumb in some areas, but that's so. Okay. So he tells about the first championship game that was coming up back then in 66, the one between the NFL and the AFL should be called the Super Bowl because of this toy.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So don't you just love how that all came back around from the Super Bowl witch curse and we brought it to a higher level with some happiness?
Yeah, look at you tying it all in.
I brought that witch curse back to something fun. And, you know, I didn't even plan that. So
awesome.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, the media went with us back then and ultimately the league adopted the name in 69. And now I have a surprise.
Okay.
Okay. So you talked about Amazon earlier. Here's another tie-in. So after I'd read about this ball and all this, and I decided to look it up on Amazon to see if it's like out there, if it's the real deal, all that, or if it's just some outdated toy. And I did find it. And
really?
It says it's the original with that stuff in it and everything. It does say it's for adults. So I'm guessing probably what you said about you and your dad, that's why. But, okay. It says it has 50,000 pounds of compressed energy, which is crazy. So that's probably why it was all over the place. Anyway,
oh, wow.
It's on its way to me and I'm just really excited.
Oh my gosh. That is awesome. I love it.
I know. So I'm totally expecting us to get together some parking lot where it's safe and just bounce the heck out of this thing, you know, to see what happens and hopefully nobody will get hurt. Now, you know, don't try this at home, kids, and all that other stuff that I need to cover for reckless behavior. So are you in?
Oh, no, I'm not just in. I'm going to bring my instant underpants and some water. We're just going to have a show and tell.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds like a lot of fun. And, you know, we're going to have to share all this with you guys. So look for that video on our Facebook page.
Absolutely. And while you're on our Facebook page, go ahead and like and share. We've had fun with this one, and we hope that you'll join us back again for next week's show. We're gonna move along and talk about something that I think you will find very interesting. I do not want to spoil it, but make sure you're checking our social media, and we'll see you soon.
Well, listen, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, where we post exclusive content, contests, and so much more. And of course, you can keep up with our episodes through Podbean or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And as always, if you have a story that sparks curiosity or you have something that you want us to talk about, just shoot us an email to ourcuriouspodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.